Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, folks? We are here. It is Monday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is the Patriot Nation Radio Show. I'm your host, Mark Hoffman. And tonight we will be speaking with the one and only Kathy Barnett. She'll be joining us here shortly. We're working out some of the kinks with the Skype. It has to do with cleaning the cookies out in the computer, and my producer is helping her out with that right now. So while we're getting that together, of course, as you know, we do our little break. We hear from Dave Bray, Liberty Rush, a couple other folks. Folks, I want to make sure that you tune into www.theunitedsaintsofamerica.us to pass the Sylvester Bland whenever you get a chance. He's a good pal. We'll be simulcasting a show with gubernatorial candidate Stacey Barth running for governor of California. Pastor Bland and Kathy will be on. Pastor Bland and Stacy will be on, and that'll be Thursday the 17th. We'll be talking about that. And, of course, he might be joining us this evening on the show. Hopefully he gets in. It'll be good stuff to have Pastor Bland on the show a couple times, as we've been doing shows together for a long time. We love Pastor Sylvester Bland. His show is Mondays and through Fridays, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. That site again, www.theunitedsaintsofamerica.us. And check out Dave Bray, Liberty Rush, and American Brand. We'll be back right after.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives, big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com, the official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number, or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty, and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws, and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says moreover than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray, USA, right now on Facebook. That's DaveBray, USA.
All units, stand by for a special announcement. Emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling. 11:45.
Todd.
This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwinden. End of watch, February 27th, 2016. May you rest in peace.
While the NRA defends the Second Amendment, the American brand fights the propaganda war. My name is Scott Kesterson, and I am president of the American brand. The American brand is a next-generation media, education outreach, and political action training organization designed for red state America. We are an organization built on the inalienable rights guaranteed in our Constitution, on the core values of hard work, on integrity, and on a deep commitment to faith and love for country. The left is working tirelessly to have you believe that red states and red counties are second-class citizens and should have no political power. Nothing could be further from the truth. The American brand has been built to strengthen the political voice of red state small towns and rural communities, to preserve American values, and to train and mobilize the next generation of red state small business and political leadership. It is a bold vision forged from the experiences of small business and military special operations. Visit our website at theamericanbrand.org. That's theamericanbrand.org to learn more. We need your support and your donations to make this work. Join us in the fight. Thank you. God bless, and God bless this great country.
Kathy Barnett's joining us tonight. Hopefully we can get it off the ground. All right. One more last little tidbit.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Welcome to the show, folks. We are here. We are live. It is the Patriot Nation Radio Show. We are having some minor technical difficulties getting connected. And my old, a couple of my old friends from back in the day, from school days, are tuning in. Mike, what's happening? Pretty cool to see some folks that I know from days gone by, from the high school. Oh, like 30-something years out of high school is crazy. Unbelievable. Welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in. Tonight we have Kathy Barnett. You may have seen her on various Fox News shows and programs. She's an AM radio host. And we are right now trying to get her connected. But in the meantime, we're going to have another gentleman. He's going to come join us right now. And he'll help us fill in some of the time while we get Kathy tuned in. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. My one and only good friend and pastor, Sylvester Bland out of California. What's happening, sir?
Hey, Brother Mark, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. It's great to talk to you.
Amen. As well. Amen. Well, yeah, keep us in prayer. California is in trouble. The liberals think they run this thing.
Got to wake some people up out there in California. You know, there's so many people that claim to be patriots from California, and I see so many, and then yet I see what's happening. The same thing happens in New York. I go over to New York to visit people, and everybody's rah, 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 USA, waving flags, and then they're voting for Chuck Schumer. I don't get it.
Well, and I'm going to be talking about it today on my little broadcast, is how in certain counties that there's that more people voted than are living voters in those counties. So you can tell that there's a lot of shenanigans going on, and they're getting away with it. So we need to implement the laws that we have on our books to find out why is the voter to registration letting this stuff happen.
Yes, indeed. And I think slowly but surely, folks like Sean Hannity, the very few, they keep hammering and hammering and hammering and hammering the truth home every day. Thank God. Because without him, these people will get away with it. I believe that.
Yes. Yes. Well, and don't exclude yourself, my brother. Your voice is being heard nationwide as well, and we are the new media. And the tighter we get, and the more we partner up like we are doing, and bring others into the fold, there is a group of people that is listening to us, and so they know that when they hear our voices, we've done our research, we've done our prayers, and we know that the Lord is on our side, and so that's why we got to continue to fight the good fight, brother. So I'm so honored to know you.
Amen. Now, folks, Pastor Sylvester Bland has an event every fourth of the month. You get together on the fourth of every month, 7 o'clock across the time zones, p.m.
Yes.
Pat, tell the folks how they can connect. This is prayer for the men of this nation to get together in unison, in unity, as one huge prayer warrior group.
Yes.
Praying for America. How can folks join in? There's a teleconference call number, correct? And it spans all the time zones. 7 p.m.
Yes, right.
Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain, 7 p.m. Central and Pacific, correct?
Correct, correct. Yeah, the Lord put that on my heart because there's a lot of men, you know, there's a lot of us that claim to be believers, but we don't have any mountains to climb and no dragons to slay, but we do. And in the church houses, I understand that there's always more females there for the most part in the church houses. But we need to take the land, and that is our job. We're supposed to be the protectors and the warriors. And this prayer rally, this prayer conference every fourth of every month, like you said, don't matter when the fourth happens, we're sticking to the fourth of every month. And I'm looking for men to rise up and to become leaders in this movement in their time zones. Until then, you know, I am the one that's leading the 7 o'clock hour. No matter what time zone you're in, at 7 o'clock, for a few minutes, we're praying with each other. We're getting emails and phone numbers. We're supporting one another, and we're going to take back this nation, men. And if you look at the Bible, you know, and like being a pastor, that's my book. You know, until the men get in the battle, there is no victory. And that's why we believe that it has to start with our prayer life and getting to know each other. We're calling it raising an army of one all across this country, starting with our
Amen.
Prayer lives.
And of course, churches without walls, folks, is a great idea. As we all know, when Jesus was preaching, he didn't stay in any building. He walked and went on mountainsides, or he went into town and he preached there, anywhere, two people. Praise the Lord together as church.
Yes, yes, yes. So my sister's calling in. You're having a phone line issue, huh?
We're working on it with the Skype. I'm messaging with her now on the Facebook Messenger. And we're trying to get her. She's using Skype. She wants to use the Skype option. So we're waiting.
Oh. Okay.
And
okay.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't usually do the Skype. I don't know how to work it. So my producer, Lisa, you know Lisa, she's working it out right now. We're trying
to. Okay.
And,
all right.
One way or another, we could talk about United Saints of America. Folks, it's a great
Amen.
Show. Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern at UnitedSaintsOfAmerica.us. Tell folks a little bit about your show, Pastor. It's a good show.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. What we do is we take everyday news and we put a biblical spin on it to prove that we are right where God said we were supposed to be in the end times. In other words, what we're living is biblical prophecy. All of the evils, the demonic oppression and possession that's taking place in the liberal mindset, people, you know, really and truly believing that to do the wrong thing is now the right and the cool thing to do now. To do the right thing and be loving and nurturing our families is the wrong thing to do, and truly live to be, the world and really it starts right here in California. They are the whole new morality or immorality, if you will. California is the proving ground, the testing ground for all of the nastiness that's spreading across our nation and the corruption in so many different levels. And so what we're doing is we're trying to re-educate. We're turning the tables on the children of darkness, and we're proving that through these actions, these works of the flesh, these evils, these cursings, these riots, these gang warfare, people beating up people on the trains, and rapes and murder and drug abuse, all these things are happening because these are just signs and wonders that we're supposed to be.
Right. Been prophesied for years. Now it's coming true.
Yes.
I think we have our featured guest on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. This is Kathy Barnett. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
We made it. Hallelujah.
Hey.
I know, we made it. How about that?
Say hello to Pastor Bland.
Hi, Pastor Bland. You know,
hey,
Pastor Bland and I go way back, Mark.
Me and Pastor Bland are now forging a history all our own, too. It's been a few years now. 2013, we crossed past 2013, and we've been friends since.
Oh, really? Okay, then, yeah, so you got me beat by a couple of years. I met Pastor Bland last year in Philadelphia when we put on that whole just speaking out into the air in the middle of downtown Philadelphia. It was wonderful.
Amen.
So, some folks may not know who Kathy Barnett is, so I'll give a brief mini bio so folks can know a little bit about you. We'll move on and talk about
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's always so awkward to talk about yourself.
Well,
I do a little bit of everything. I am
born here, raised here, went to school there, moved over here. Now I work here, and I do this on the radio, and I get on TV. Stuff like that.
I know, right? Yeah, I think that summed it up perfectly. But, you know, by the grace of God and by his providence, I've been able, if I went down the list of all the careers I've had, one would think I've lived multiple lives, but it's only been one life. But it's been a life that I handed over to the Lord when I was 19 years old. And it's been really amazing to see all the things that by his grace and his providence, he's allowed me to do for his glory.
Amen. Yeah, we do some great shows on here from time to time with me and Pastor Bland where we praise. We had a great Christmas special last year. We had a young lady on named Tamisha Pruitt out of Texas. Search her out. She does a great prayer service Saturday nights, 9:30 Central Time out of Texas on Facebook Live.
Amen. Oh, it was a great time.
We learned a little bit about the first Christmas carol that was official Christmas carol. That was fun. So tonight I see you're on Fox News and you're doing a radio show and stuff. How often are you on Fox, and is it a steady gig, or do they bring you on from time to time as a just a contributor? Because I think you're awesome. The things I watch are always spot on a lot of times.
Yeah, you know, I'm so very grateful to God. I started going to Fox last year, right after Donald Trump, then Republican candidate Trump won the primaries for the Republican Party. I started going on to Fox just as a part of their mom panel, contributing our thoughts on Donald Trump, whether we were talking about Donald Trump, Hillary, or whether we were talking about Islam. And just being there to contribute my one or two cents at that particular time, and spoke alongside some really amazing people who are now a part of the Trump administration. And that was probably once a week, twice a week, and it continues today. And now I was just on there, just Ainsley and I, talking about marijuana moms, of
yes.
all things.
Yes, and I saw that segment, and it was quite interesting. And 59% of moms, is that just in California or is that a nationwide percentage?
No, this is a survey that was done in California. But as you know, the saying goes, as California goes, so does the rest of the nation. And so
right.
we can extrapolate to the various states that have legalized marijuana and get somewhat of a glimpse of how people in general, but mothers specifically, are using it. And it's very interesting. 59% of parents say that they, according to this survey that was taken in California, say that they use marijuana recreationally. Of that, 63% were moms. And that was very interesting. And especially as you kind of dove down into the numbers of the research, that these moms, 63% of moms are using marijuana recreationally. So this is not for medical purposes. I know people like to try to make that distinction. This is just recreationally, 63%. However, they're using it to replace things like alcohol, opiate use, and antidepressants. So essentially, the majority of these moms are self-medicating.
Right. Well, you know, I think I'd prefer them to self-medicate with a plant than with some opiates or some alcohol. But this is coming from a
I would prefer that they, you know, get professional medical help. Our culture, as you know, our country, as you know, is in the grips of an opiate addiction. We're in the grips of even depression. I thought it was interesting that 43 million adults, just talking about adults, suffer from some form of depression.
Yeah, I suppose. But as myself, as a recovering alcoholic, I'm 25 years alcohol-free. I'll be 26 years alcohol-free this coming April. I'm very proud of that.
Congratulations.
Alcohol destroyed my life. I was homeless and on the street. And I don't see that. I mean, I guess it can destroy your life if you have it in your trunk and you get pulled over and they arrest you and the war on drugs. But I don't, in my own experiences, I haven't seen too many people that lives totally crash and burn over that. And it's much more safer than opiates and alcohol. If they're going to choose something to self-medicate with, I would say that. But yes, some help might be in the works for some folks. We just can't seem to put stuff down, and regardless of what it is, opiates, alcohol, or marijuana.
Yeah.
Well, can I jump in there, too?
Yeah, please.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah,
please.
Well, growing up in the inner city, I have seen what you said, Brother Mark. I have seen people, innocently start out smoking, marijuana, and it becomes just as addictive. They say they're not addicted, but it's so prevalent and so inexpensive that you get addicted to it, because you can't go in a liquor store and buy alcohol at a young age. And what happens is, what marijuana does, they say it's a tree, they say it's a plant, and it's better. But what it does is it dumbs down, it numbs the brain, it really makes you lazy. It really does. I'm talking about long term use. I'm not talking about the casual user, but the person that finds it as a way of escape, to get away from reality, and uses it long term, like on a daily basis. They say recreational use. It makes you not want to deal or cope with reality. And what happens is, you think you got things in order, but in really you don't. What happens is you have a tendency to not be able to perform on your job like you're supposed to. You're not as good a parent as you think that you are, because you're not in. Put it this way, God created our bodies to run and function a certain way. Anything that offsets the body chemistry, especially when it's done on a regular basis, is just out of order, and the old-fashioned word that God calls it is sin. So anything you do to alter that body, I don't care where it comes from, it alters the chemical makeup of the body, for recreation, for fun. It's in the drunken high aspects of it, it's not good for you, and it can have long-term effects, and I've seen too many people, that I've grown up with, that have gone down that path, and not too many like you, brother, recover fully. They might recover a little bit, but not fully.
Right.
That's my opinion.
I believe if it has medical qualities, it should absolutely be researched and used to if it works. I believe people it's helping people with depression, people with multiple sclerosis, AIDS patients who lose their appetite, smoke it so that they can get the munchies, I guess. I mean,
right.
So there is meds that are needed, if it works.
And one of the things that we're finding with the research is that the I guess you can call it almost a scheme that is used, is that they introduce it into legislation medically first, knowing that if they can get people to accept it medically than recreational and without any regards will come next. It's kind of like civil unions. Remember when those who were in same-sex marriages, they just wanted to have civil union. No, they said, we don't want, you know, full marriage. We just want to be able to share property rights and be able to go and sit at the bedside of our loved one. That's all we want is civil union. But civil union, once we gave that, it gives way to what the real ambition is, and that's the full recognition of marriage. And it's the same strategy, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. They come in using medical as the reason, but the ultimate goal is for the full-fledged aspect of it. And I think we have to take those kind of things seriously, because when you have the residue of, you know, and again, this survey, it wasn't talking about medical. It was talking about recreational. And so you have 63% of mothers, and I was talking to Pastor Bland earlier, you know, we're just kind of dialoguing about, just think about that. I have been able, by the grace of God, to have so many careers, whether it's in the military or whether it's in Wall Street or whether it's in corporate America or even as an adjunct professor of corporate finance, and now on radio and television speaking to millions of people. And yet the most important role I have ever had is that of being a mother. I was saying to Pastor Bland, if there's ever, you know, most people in a humanistic world, all they think about is leaving their mark on society. And the greatest mark we can ever leave that will ring into eternity generations from now is how I raise my children. And so just kind of wrap your mind around the concept of 63% of mothers raising the next generation stoned. Because although I can take one drink and not be drunk, can you smoke one joint and not be high? I don't think so. I've never smoked, but, you know, I never had a hole in the head either. And yet I still recognize that it's probably not a good thing to daily. These 63% of mothers said they smoke daily. And I just, and if you just kind of wrap your mind around that for a moment.
Well, another thing I looked at here in California, you know, and even now in Colorado, you know, and here I'm not talking about anybody, any one particular person, but I hear on my broadcast, and I've talked to a number of people who have close relationships with, you know, being from the inner city, the South Central Los Angeles. That's one of the things they always say too. They always tout the medical aspect of it, you know, the medical, metamedical. But at the same time, you know, everybody who goes into these cannabis stores, every single one of them just about, you know, have these little doctor prescribed medical reason to smoke marijuana. Now, something's wrong with that picture. And, you know, everybody can't have migraines. Everybody can't have cirrhosis of the liver and whatever else they're trying to cure by getting high. And these places are running out of marijuana. I even seen, coming from San Jose yesterday, there is in San Jose, there is a place where that you can go to this church. You have to be 18 years old to go to this church. And it's a marijuana church. Now, you trying to, and anybody out there trying to tell me this is all for medical purposes, I'm sorry. You know, it's become a thing, you know, and they always use that excuse, you know, well, it's, you know, it's because I got headaches, you know, or whatever. I got back pains. If you take the THC out of it and they find ways to use it for that and that only, that would still only represent probably less than 10% of people who actually utilize it. Utilize it for medicinal purposes, but we know that that's not the case.
I think THC is part of the thing that makes it medical almost. No,
but there's ways to do it. Yeah, there's ways to do it. You know, and other parts of it too that where you don't get high either. You know, but we don't have to get into all that. It's just one of those kinds of things, like Kathy was saying, and like I have seen with my own eyes. You know, it's one of those kind of things that when you're around it every day, when you see it as much as I do, you know, ministering in the streets, and on Skid Row and homeless people, you know, if it walks like a duck and it smells like a duck, it must be marijuana, you know, and it ain't for medicinal purposes.
And, you know, I mean, I often think, you know, I mean, I like pasta. I really like pasta, but I don't eat it every day because I'm not addicted to it. But, you know, I think that this is going to be years down, because here's the truth. Mm. We don't have a whole lot of research on the effects, on the health consequences of using marijuana. We just don't. It's not readily available at all. We have little pieces here and there with Kaiser Permanente, a very large medical facility doing their own study, and what they came back saying that there are some dire consequences from a health perspective that we need to take seriously. One being that one joint has as much tar, or it leaves as much tar, it leaves more tar residue in the lungs than smoking a pack of cigarettes. And what I believe we're going to have later on down the road, we're going to have another one of those oops moments. Because remember when smoking cigarettes was glorified and it was the trend, mm-hmm. it was a social
yeah.
event to do so, and only to movies. Come to find out all of the issues that come around it. I believe we're going to have that plus so much more with marijuana, because it is worth it. I mean, if you're just looking at what Kaiser Permanente said, as far as it leaves more tar residue in the lungs than a pack of cigarettes, and that's just smoking one joint or one
yeah.
marijuana, one whatever you call it.
I was gonna say, Kathy, I respectfully disagree with one statement. You say we have no research to find out what long-term marijuana does. I think we have a shining example on a lot of different levels. Number one, we got Governor Jim Brown, you know, whatever his name is, Governor Brown. He is a shining example of people that smoke dope. We got Congress and senators back in the Woodstock days. These are living examples of what smoking dope, making love, not war, is all about.
Stacey Bart, Governor of Florida, ladies and gentlemen. Stacey Bart.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I have on the line an Emmy Award-winning journalist. He's doing a thing called Expedition Red, and he's going across small-town America, and he's talking to folks, and he may have some insight to add to this debate. Scott, what's happening, sir? Welcome to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Kesterson from theamericanbrand.org. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Mark, how are you? Yeah, it's an interesting topic you're talking about today. I've been seeing it from a very different lens. I'm very, very anti-marijuana in legalization. And besides the health consequences, this has become a massive destructor of local culture and values. It is it's a tool that the environmentalists have been teaming up with some big money coming out of blue areas, and this is all trackable. The process that we've seen in Oregon, and I've seen it firsthand down in Cave Junction and all the way through to the eastern part of the red state, red counties, and we're seeing it now in Montana, where I am right now, is it begins with the environmentalists attacking resource-based industries, going after mining, and going after energy, going after timber. They start to rupture the economies in the local towns. Then you get a dual hit of trying to legalize marijuana for medicinal purposes as the entry point. And then it becomes wide, broad-spectrum legalization, which then completely ruptures the value bases within these local economies. And when you start to talk to these folks that are behind this, they're highly secretive. They are very guarded on their motives and coming into towns. They'll start buying up properties. There's massive cash behind this, and it's all coming out of blue zones, in particular San Francisco and blue areas. And yes. there is an intentional effort to take advantage of the broken economies in these rural communities and absolutely transform them into everything from, like, down in Tiller, Oregon, where they're trying to turn this into kind of like a gay festival area where it's going to be all pot smoking and up in the mountains, to a little town over in eastern Oregon where some guys are moving in now in a very conservative town where they're starting to buy up buildings and they're going to turn it into kind of like a hippie Airbnb where you can come in and have all the pot you want. This is
they
a
bought
value
the town.
Destructor. Exactly.
Yeah, they bought the town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and it, you know, one of the questions that Ainsley Earhart on Fox and Friends asked me was, well, why do you think people are doing it? And if you're talking to politicians or to some of the same people that Scott is referencing, it is big money business. Just
yes.
in the state of Colorado alone, they made $1.3 billion in sales last year, and they were able to reap $200 million in taxes off of that. So to your point, Scott, you're right on. It is in fact, it's really disconcerting to see that a lot of Americans are using the economic aspect of it as another reason to justify. First, people say, hey, it has some really good benefits medically. Then they say, hey, it's natural, and and God gave it to us, so we can use it. And then the third thing I hear people talk about is that, well, you know, economically, it will help some of these very distressed cities. But to your point, Scott, it is eroding family values.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely is. And the thing is, you know, I refer to it as a cultural gateway drug, I'm intentionally using these things to partly irritate those that try to tell me marijuana is not a gateway drug. The evidence is mixed on whether it is a gateway to harder drugs, but I think there's one very critical change that you can see is the amount of how the sales for hard drugs of meth and heroin have gone up exponentially everywhere legalization has happened. Portland, Oregon, the city that works, is their motto, which I used to have an office there. I mean, here's the city that works. You've got the highest heroin trafficking city in the nation, and you have the highest human trafficking city in the nation, and marijuana has been legal for medical purposes and is now legal all through the state. So there is a complete correlation to this. Plus, in the cultural aspect, once you start to undermine the values, you start to open up the gateway towards another way of looking at values in whole, which is this very collectivist thinking that's coming out of the blue state. And it's rupturing family values, turning the state into your family, which we've seen. And marijuana is that gateway drug to get you right there. And I'm seeing this firsthand in these small towns.
And what do you think is going to happen? I mean, like, just looking at California where this survey came off, and again, under the just kind of extrapolating it out, what do you think is going to happen when you have 62% of moms, according to this survey, is using it daily?
Yeah.
What kind of values are they instilling into the next generation? Who will see this? Kind of like parents who used to think that their liquor was safe, and then when they leave town, they find out their kid invited everyone over and raided the liquor counter. Well, now you're going to have this same thing occurring potentially with with mom and dad marijuana stash.
From my own
experience, I agree.
From my own experience,
go ahead, Mark.
For me, the gateway drug was alcohol. I never had thought about anything until I had 6 beers in me. Then I go, you know what? Let's go get this or let's go do that. For me, the gateway was alcohol. Before that, all I want to do is sit on the couch and eat a Twinkie. I didn't want to go nowhere.
Exactly.
It goes back
to what I was saying before, the way God created us. He created us with the right balance of chemicals and enzymes and pheromones and neurons and synapse, the way it all functions beautifully together. And anything, and matter of fact, if you go to any liquor store, and I say this every day on our broadcast, you go to a liquor store and you look at the bottle, sometimes God makes the devil tell the truth. If you look at any of the hard liquor bottles, for the most part, they it comes right out and tells you, these are spirits. And you're drinking spirits, you know, it makes you act up. That's why they call it alcohol. It makes you act up.
That's actually pretty good.
It made me act up. Some of my old friends that are tuning in from my high school days on live TV, alcohol made me wacky.
Mark, I think it's interesting what you just said a few moments ago, something that stood out to me. You said prior to your gateway drug being alcohol, you used to just sit at home eating Twinkies. And I thought it was interesting. I was reading the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and how they and how they define mental illness. Because remember I said 43 million adults alone are suffering from some form of mental illness, with women comprising the majority of that number. And I thought it was interesting that they define mental illness or mental wellness, including your emotional well-being, your psychological well-being, and your social well-being. And so for those people who may feel a little socially inept, smoking a joint or drinking alcohol gives them the courage that they otherwise wouldn't have. And we see a lot of that in our culture today, of kind of socially awkward people and then using this alcohol or the marijuana in this case to give them the courage that they wouldn't otherwise have.
I think that the challenge I'm seeing out here is the amount of, it's very difficult when you're with the small town. Are we there, Mark?
Yeah, yeah. We're here.
Okay. I think it's really difficult in the small towns when they become so isolated and the economies have been so ruptured that, to the point of the economics piece of the marijuana, it does look like it's an opportunity to get some jobs back. But when we get into the bigger picture of this, when you really start to roll out the coordinated efforts on the backside, which so many are just not paying attention to, and it's tracking the money. And you start tracking the money of where it's coming from and who's coordinating and the efforts that are going in on these what seem to be independent, yet they're highly coordinated. And, you know, the environmentalists, the lawfare that's going on, the political activism that's going on, and it's all tied. And then you start looking at, again, you go further back and you start looking at the tech generation and what this big tech shift that they're trying to get with replacing jobs with AI and robotics. I mean, this to me is, and I'm trying to sound conspiracy theorist, you start to map it out and you start to see a trend that's very frightening, which is a trend to get more and more people hooked into drug use, because it becomes that social aspect to fill the void as it's coming like a tsunami at us with the replacement of thousands and thousands of jobs and unemployment like we've never imagined. Because there's not going to be the replacement jobs once they start taking them away and replacing everybody with AI and robotics. And then that's,
and then,
you know,
what do you do? Right. Yeah.
Right.
And then I mean, like Mark, I think that is so profound, because our last president, he made no secret that his goal was for a global society. And why do we even have borders at all? And how do you get people numb to the point of being able to accept that, and to accept the fact that your jobs are gone? And that jobs are flowing. I mean, like with the Paris Climate Agreement, if you look at these various aspects, they are highly coordinated, and they have the same agenda overall. I was listening to one of the UN speakers talk about the fact that the climate control has nothing to do with the climate. It's economic. And shifting the wealth away from our nation and to a central location, those who will rule over the rest of us. And I believe that marijuana is just one of those tools.
I would agree with that.
Al Gore's got an Inconvenient sequel coming out. What a joke. He's still trying to push
it. It failed miserably in the theaters this weekend. It came out 15 at the bottom, and they're already accusing Paramount of saying that it was a conspiracy to derail Al Gore's movie. I mean, the left is insidious in always finding an excuse for failure, and always.
I'm surprised they didn't say Russia did it, and that somehow Trump colluded.
That's well said.
And that's the reason why the Paris Climate Change failed. Yes, so.
No, I think this is the marijuana to me is one of the big crises in our small towns. And I mean, you folks here don't really know, but American Brand is completely being built and focused on trying to regenerate and provide opportunity and defend small town and rural America. And it's I consider small towns our cultural DNA. And if we don't fight for them, and if we don't start really standing up and building everything from awareness programs to opportunities for small business in these places, you wipe out small towns and you end up with Agenda 2030, which is formerly Agenda 21, without even having to wink an eye.
Yeah. I mean, if you wipe out small towns, I grew up in a small town, then you end up with California and New York.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
That's the plan.
Kathy Scott's exactly. going across the country, and he's seeing this firsthand with people across the country. Right, Scott?
Yeah, Scott, I would love for us to connect.
Yeah,
so
tell Kathy
exactly
what Expedition Red is.
Okay, so Expedition Red is a project that I stood up. The American brand, I need to back up and just give you a quick, very quick history. I ran a super PAC last year called Kilroy Rising, which was myself and 124 special operations veterans. And our entire focus was getting on the extreme fringe of President Trump's movement, which were a lot of the militias. And we were very successful in getting 3,000 people that had never voted before kind of de-radicalized and into the voting process. From that, I set up the American brand. And the American brand is dedicated to that small town in rural America that literally is disconnected and has no voice. And it has to do with a program, similar type of program I built for a special operations group when I was in Afghanistan. Going forward then, what I did is I broke the country up. I looked at the country in terms of red states, and I divided it up into 7 different tours. And they're each one is named. So the first one was the Pioneers. This one is Lewis and Clark. There's one called Cheese Wheels and Coal, which is going to be up Wisconsin and Michigan and in the coal area. And what I'm doing is the first part I did car camping, and I just got into the local communities. The second phase now, I'm actually bike packing it, and I left from Bozeman. I'm now up. I went north, I'm in White Sulphur Springs, where they have the only private mine. They're trying to get started up here in Copper. I'm going to take the tour tomorrow, and then I'm going to swing down and hit the Lewis and Clark Trail heading east and take it all the way out to St. Louis. The third leg, I don't know, we're coming up with different ideas on how to do the third leg. There's a leg going down to look at national parks, and we're going to do part of that in the winter and do it through snowmobiling. But the idea is to get down on the ground, very local, meet the local communities, talk to local businesses, do stories and features on them, and elevate up that very bottom-up type story that gets totally washed over by the coastal blue news. And it's amazing what you find out here. I mean, people, I talked to a woman this morning that was so articulate in the details of the complexities of what's going on in politics, and it's just a local person that she just reads a lot, and she's passionate about a small town up here. You find people that are really trying to revive small towns with some really interesting innovation, taking big risks, still believing in the American dream, and then you have others that are just absolutely getting crushed by the environmental movement and things, and it's just not being told. And these stories are so important to the fabric of what I refer to as red state values, because it's part of getting the connectivity between these small towns so they don't feel isolated. And that's the big goal of the American brand. We'll be launching from this sometime in September and October. We're going to be launching American Brand TV, which is an online TV portal of stories based all around small town and rural America. And then next year, we're going to roll out some applied technology centers in some of these small towns. And we're trying to get that to be a national program to try to give youth and, in particular, high school seniors the opportunity to not only learn the technology, but to get applied technologies of how it can apply to the skills that they grew up around in, but also give them small business experience before they go to college. And then we're also building a third part of that, which is to build the next generation of red state activism, which is value-based. It's constitutional based, and it's to try to get the strength of the small town unified to give it a bigger voice. And so Expedition Red is the thread that's weaving it all together.
Well, brother, we between you and me and Mark, and we need to make sure we have each other's contact number, because our mission, our missions are all similar. Now, this is all a divine meeting. So, amen, brother Mark. You have my brother's contact info?
Yeah, please share mine, Mark. Please do.
Yeah, because I'm right here, and I am the campaign manager for a lady that's running for governor here in California. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about is doing just what you said. We are targeting the red counties that still remain here in California. And we're going to need as much national presence as possible, because this is what happens in California doesn't stay in California. And that town is called Nipton, California, and a marijuana industry paid $5 million, and that's going to be their poster child, saying they're going to bring in a whole bunch of money. But at the same time, we know, like you just said, brother, their real agenda is.
It absolutely is. So that's it's really, I'll tell you, it's been a really exciting experience for me. I mean, I grew up in a small town. I grew up in Southern Oregon. I also spent about half of my youth in Custer, Montana. So when I resettle, when I get through with this and I kind of anchor, which is going to be out towards Ennis, Montana, I'll be a fourth generation of my family out here. And it has changed. There's been a lot of change in the state, but there is still so much that sits under the cover of, under the surface of that small town value that's so much part of America. And that's all over. It's just that the spark and what if you want to look at America as kind of a DNA thread, it's like that one DNA hasn't been activated for so long that people don't even know what it is anymore. And when you start to give the hope, boy, I'm telling you, it's just amazing. I mean, I tell people what we're doing, and the outpouring of support has been amazing for me. Just as I drive along, people find out. I was doing a broadcast one night live here in White Sulphur Springs a few weeks ago, and when we were covering the mine, and pretty soon I had a whole following here from White Sulphur Springs. People coming over. One guy drove over and met me, and we talked for about a couple hours, and just talking to me about the challenges of running a farm and a ranch in this day and age. And these are passionate things. These people want some of these people out here still have homesteaded, and they're still in the family, and they're wanting to keep this going. But the hope and the dreams are getting crushed by big corporate agendas and this whole concept of trying to literally crush small towns.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, indeed. Now, folks, you can find Scott at theamericanbrand.org. You can search him out on Facebook, Scott Kesterson. And you got other things like Instagram and stuff like that, Scott? And then I got to get back to Kathy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. So Instagram is American Brand TV, and Twitter is Expedition Red, or with an X, XPED. And then I do two times a day, I do a Facebook Live on the American Brand Facebook page. I do a morning show called Morning Coffee at 10 a.m., and I do an evening show at 9 p.m. Eastern, just called The American Brand. Morning Coffee is usually about what's behind the politics and the new headlines, and the evening show is more about small towns and values.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Kesterson and theamericanbrand.org. Check it out. Kathy.
Mark, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Do you have any appearances upcoming or that people can watch, or how can they tune into your radio show? Is there an internet broadcast connection to your radio show?
Yeah, there's a couple of things you guys can do in order to reach me, and that is Facebook. I'm always on Facebook. You can go to my page at Kathy Barnett for Truth. Kathy with the K, Barnett, B as in boy, A-R-N-E-T-T-E for Truth. You can see me there on Facebook, or you can go to Twitter at Kathy for Truth. And my website is truthexchange.net. It's all about the truth, no matter where we go. Amen. We're just going to speak the truth.
Hallelujah. Yes, indeed. And when is your radio show? Is it every day, or you got a specific day, or do you do every single day?
Yeah, well, now I am doing Fox and Friends very regularly, so I do that more so than the radio at this time.
Congratulations on that. That's a step in the right direction. So, folks, Miss Kathy Barnett is excellent on air. If you haven't seen her on air, make sure you check her out and connect with her on Facebook. She's always on Facebook. You heard it, just like me. You can always find us on Facebook, cruising around.
Yep.
Searching for truth.
I know, right? Trying to dispel the lies.
And the fake media. That's what's so good about these blog talk radio shows and things, because you can bring the truth, and they can't censor you, and they can't squash you. And the people hear the truth, and they hear it real, uncensored, you know, the way it needs to be. And no spin and no editing. So, you know, you get the real deal.
Yes, amen. I agree.
So, folks, we have been talking with Mrs. Kathy Barnett, Fox News contributor, radio show host, mom, Christian, and wife. Hallelujah. This is a great lady here and a conservative. how hard is it in your industry to be a lady and be a conservative and be a Trump guy? You get a lot of flack from folks.
You know, the fact that I'm black and a conservative, I probably have gotten more pushback because of that aspect, and within my own family or within the black community, I saw probably more, I don't know, just very, very odd behavior, especially among those who know me very well. And yet, in our culture today with identity politics, it's all about, identifying according to your color. And apparently, in most people's mind, if you're black, you must be a Democrat.
Right. And that's a shame that it's like that, and that you would actually have to endure people giving you a hard time because you follow your heart and your mind and your morals to the path.
And
that
logic,
you choose.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
I just had probably a week ago a white lady, and I know she meant well, so I did not take it as an insult, but she looked at me and she said, "Kathy, you're black." And I said, "Yes, I am." She said, but she went on to talk about how could I, I'm sorry.
And proud of it.
Yeah, but she was like, how could you vote conservative? How could you support Trump? And I had to explain to her that the color of my skin does not say anything about my intelligence, nor does it say anything about my character. And in fact, I'm so much more than just the color of my skin. But isn't that a very intolerant thing for tolerant Democrats to say, that if I'm black, I must think a certain way, and if I don't think that way, that something is wrong with me? But they would say they are the party of tolerance.
Yep. And you said using logic, we think logically. And you could hear Sean Hannity every day lay out the statistics and the numbers of how many are on poverty, how many people are on food stamps, how many people are out of the workforce every day. And then there's a case of there's a sailor, his name is Christian Saucier. He gets locked up, gets a one-year jail sentence for mishandling classified information. And Hillary has the same charge, 150 counts, and gets to run for president in a massive double standard. It's like they live by a different set of rules than the rest of us.
Yeah, well, they do live by a different set of rules. And that is the thing that our president, Donald Trump, is contending with. He is in the middle. I mean, he calls it a swamp, but it's a swamp. I mean, I grew up in southern Alabama, very deep southern Alabama, so I know about swamps and snakes and all kind of nasty critters in there. And we have to kind of put our mind around that, where he's walking into. There is a double standard. It's their way, and then it's the rest of us. And the rest of us have to live under these laws, whereas they pretty much get to make the laws but don't have to actually live by the laws, like Obamacare. It applied to all of us, but they themselves were excluded, the very people who put it over us. And so we have to kind of wrap our mind around where we are right now in this time-space continuum. Things are not adding up, but I believe a lot of what has been going on under the cover is being exposed.
Yes, indeed. And, if you really wanted to interview Christian Saucier before he gets released, I could probably hook that up, Kathy. That would be an amazing interview to have you interview him from the jail that he's in to tell you what he's gone through. That would be awesome. We should hook that up. Might be a career booster. Sean Hannity talked about it. President Trump used the case on the campaign trail, it would be an amazing interview. I think you would be a great interviewer for that case.
Oh, wow. That may be interesting. Let's talk.
Yeah.
We could work that out. I could work that out. I'm friends with his wife and his lawyer and his lawyer's wife. And we talk on a regular basis. And we could hook that up. We can get that done.
Oh, that may be very interesting. Thank you. We'll talk after this.
I'll talk. Ladies and gentlemen, we are right here at the end of the show. I want to thank our featured guest tonight, Kathy Barnett. You can find her on Fox and Friends. She's getting more and more gigs there. I'm very excited and very proud to have hosted this interview tonight. I want to thank you so much for your input on many different topics.
And hopefully one day we can do it again. Maybe I'll come on your show.
Oh, I would love that. Mark, thank you so much for inviting me on. This has been so great. You told me people come on and don't want to leave.
See? They stick around. It happens all the time. Well, I got 15 minutes, and then next thing you know, we're running over. It's late, and they're still with us. Hallelujah. I love it. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for your military service, sacrifice to our nation, and thanks for all your hard work to bring the truth to the people.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Pastor Bland, you know I love you.
Amen. Amen. Love you, too. Love you, Brother Mark.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, and also don't forget to tune in to the United Saints of America at www.theunitedsaintsofamerica.us Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Be there or be square. Our good brother Ed Gonzalez is watching. Folks, pray for Ed. He needs prayer for good health and healing. And with that, folks, I want to say goodnight. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for coming on, Pastor. It's really awesome always to have you on the show. And we will be having a simulcast on the 17th of August with Pastor Bland and his gubernatorial candidate that he is the campaign manager for. We're going to make some announcements. We're going to talk, and we're going to try and get this nice lady elected governor of California. It's very important. You will remember her. We'll talk about some of the things she's done in the fight for America, our sovereignty, our national security. Believe it or not, she's a great fighter, and she's an awesome lady. Been on the show a couple times in the past. We will introduce her on August 17th, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Show, simulcast with Pastor Sylvester Bland, and hopefully we'll be simulcasting with News Without Filters as well, as that's what we do on Thursdays. We have that simulcasting all over the place and a live feed. I believe Pastor Bland does a live feed too, so we'll have two live different live feeds going, so we'll be all over the place with that one.
Amen.
All right, Pastor, thanks a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, Amen. Thanks again for tuning in, all my fans there on the live feed, and everybody out in Blog Talk Radio Land. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And right now, we're going to go ahead, and I'm going to do our final song from Dave Bray, the Star Spangled Banner. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a flag. Let's do this.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going to sing it together. Are you ready? Come on, Pittsburgh. Are you ready?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming.
Thursday, right after the Conservative Perspective with James Bostic, I have Volusia County Teenage Republicans, a group here in Volusia County, Florida, where a couple years ago they had the debate here over the 36-page chapter in world history dedicated to Islam. We're going to get a little update. I'm going to ask them about that. That'll be Thursday, 8 o'clock, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, after James Bostic's show, A Conservative's Perspective, which starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's a two-hour, back-to-back, double bill every Thursday, A Conservative's Perspective and the Patriot Nation Radio Show live. I want to thank everybody once again for tuning in. And until we meet again, good night, and God bless America. Thanks, Kathy. That was awesome.
Yes, it was. See, I'm still hanging around.
I will.
Pastor Bland, are you still there?
No, he hung up. He hung up. It's actually going live right now. It's still live. I didn't end the episode yet. But again, thank you so much. I will give you the live feed information, and I will post the show to you as well so that you can share it around.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
And God bless.
God bless.